This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. What's happening? What's going down? Who do you come to for some early morning entertainment? Some information, some inspiration, some empowerment, some fun? Hopefully it's here. Because this is probably your best bet in a world full of boring, dull mainstream media who can't help themselves but retell the same boring nonsense over and over again. Today we've got a jam-packed morning for you. Oh man, the burning platform a little bit later on, which of course is brought to you by Nando's. It's our attempt every week to inform you, to give you some angles on some of the stories, to let you in on what's really going on. Oh, I gotta tell you, I'm so happy. I've got this I don't drink a lot of coffee. We've probably discussed this before, and I don't know, if it's boring for you, then just fast forward the podcast by 2-3 minutes. But I drink maybe one on a very heavy day, maybe 2 coffees a day, right? And even then, that's not, I don't drink on weekends in terms of coffee. So it's really just something to kind of give you a kick in the backside to start your morning. And my business partner, she doesn't mind that disgusting granular shit that they, you know, that they kind of have in a, like they used to have at the SABC canteen, or that they serve you in a little office where there's maybe, you know, 3 people or whatever it is. And we've got a small office here, but I can't do that stuff. It feels like I'm drinking, Ben calls it a cup of brown. It really has nothing. It's just brown. So I've got this little coffee machine, which I think was, I bought it probably 5 or 6 years ago, and I had it in my house with all the right intentions. I was going to make myself one beautiful cup of coffee every morning before I'd leave for work. And of course, that never happens. I never even eat breakfast in the morning because you're in such a hurry.
Who eats breakfast at 5 in the morning?
Thank you, Pumi. Thank you so much. Someone understands. Who the hell does it? Who has time? So I bought this little machine. Anyway, it stood at home. It never had any use. I never bought the capsules for it. And then I decided, hell, there's no way to treat yourself as a human being. You have no self-respect if you're going to drink a cup of brown when you could make a better plan. Like, you know, the world of better is in your hands. You just have to seize it and make it yours. So I brought this machine here, and I bought the capsules, and it sits in my office, and Pumi's just poured herself one. I've got a little cup here. It makes you so much happier to know that you're not drinking slop.
Particularly if, like me, you mm-hmm. went to bed at 1 in the morning.
Oh, shame, Pums. What were you doing? Were you working?
I was updating. I was trying to update my phone.
Your software. Oh, it's a bad mistake.
But also, because, you know, lost my computer, whatever.
But hang on. Now you've got... Yeah, because you lost your computer last week. In fact, last week, a week ago. Have you sorted that out yet?
So I have
someone stole. Let's say you didn't lose your computer. Some thief stole it out of your car.
Yeah, whatever, man. But so I've decided to go full digital and do what's feeling a little bit uncomfortable for me. I have gone for an iPad Pro.
Ooh.
I have not gone for
a new laptop.
No new laptop.
Fancy.
And everything's on the cloud now.
Okay, very, very 21st century of you. I'm a little nervous, but okay.
Dude.
Yeah?
I am so nervous. I have not had a laptop or desktop. Like, it's so hectic for me, this thing. It's just 11 inches of screen.
And you've got a little stylus with it as well, right?
Little stylus.
Yeah.
I'm on the waiting list for the wireless
keyboard,
the smart keyboard.
That you roll up and you just unravel there on your desk. So you're going to feel like you have a computer, even though it's much, much more compact.
But the thing about it is so much a departure from the tools that we're used to. And I've come to realize how much of a slave we are
to the machines. Yeah. But you made a terrible, fatal error last night, because you must never go, oh, I'll update my software at like 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, because it's going to take hours. And you need your phone next to your bed. How else do you have your alarm? You've got important messages. You've got a kid, so you're always checking up that there's stuff that you don't have to get ready for tomorrow morning for him.
Gareth, I did not try at 6 p.m. I was for 3 days trying to get myself back up and running. I was at that silly Apple store, which has the worst salespeople in the world. Yeah. They don't know how to, they just don't know how to upsell you. They don't know how to sell you the stuff that you need or to upsell you. So first day I'm there, I get all my stuff. I also did a trade-in with my old,
old iPad,
old phone, all of that. Because, you know, it's an expensive thing. And it is still January.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the fact that you're even getting a new anything in January, people are horrified. Sure.
On the first day, he then says to me, "You have to back up everything." No. I'm like, uh-huh. "Oh God, you can't help me do that." No, they don't do that at the store. So you have to go back home and do it all by yourself. But now, remember, I have no laptop to back up everything to.
Right, jeez.
So
set up the thing. Desperation in your face.
So I set up the iCloud, save everything to the cloud, and then delete everything off my iPad.
Oh, no.
And it's I can't look at it to see if it's all properly backed up.
So you're nervous as hell.
Go back to the Apple store, hand everything over, take my spanking new iPad Pro home.
Right.
And try to...
turn it on?
Restore from the cloud.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, shit.
Now, is there a reggae song at this point that you're listening to?
So what happened?
That is going to give you some inspiration, because I would have dropped a few F-bombs
by the way,
I just
want to rename Thursday mornings the Trials and Tribulations of Pumi Mashiko. The first half hour, because I listened to you guys last week, and we were talking about how the thing was stolen out of your car.
Gareth, Nizoni Swabisa. I don't know how to say that in
now.
English.
I don't know how to say that in English.
Help me.
No, I'm... what's Swabisa?
Huswaba is...
Is it Sotho?
Yeah.
Okay,
I think it's township slang. I'm not sure if it's real Sotho or Tswana or something.
Give me something, anything to work on.
But it's like...
Wow.
Yo, guys, we must ask people who are listening. People must let us know.
But you're using it, so you've got to be able to describe it to me.
Swabisa. I'm going to break your hearts. I'm going to bring it down like you can't balance.
Oh, that's your intention every Thursday?
No, about the trials and tribulations. You will see. I will come here next week Thursday. I will be flourishing, damn it.
Oh, all right.
I'll be on some trials and tribulations. This is just a small hump.
So did you restore from the cloud?
That is what kept me up till 1 in the morning.
And was everything smiles and happiness once you'd...
So my phone is. My iPad is not yet. Do you see me here with my
Walking around with a hard drive.
Poor Pumi, that's all she's got. Do you need to plug that into something?
Where do you plug
it in? Can I tell you, so the hard drive doesn't plug into the iPad Pro, yo?
Yeah, I know, there's nothing.
So, okay, things are going well for you right now.
Poor Pumelele. Oh, my God.
I think you're right on the top of the hump.
I'm delirious, that's what...
Up until next week, maybe things will be better.
Things will be... Bona, little Swaba, you will have those sad faces when I walk in here with no trials, no tribulations, just living my best life.
But you know, you're right about one thing that I think everybody can sympathize and empathize and feel is true for them. It's relevant to their own lives, and that is that the machines own us now. Right? I mean, you lose your phone, you feel like you've had an arm chopped off. You lose your laptop or your iPad, depending on which one you use, or you have to swap like you are between one and the other because now you've decided you're going to go full digital, you're going to go full iPad. Sweet Jesus, it's scary. You feel like you're leaving a piece of you,
right?
And you're so terrified, you're missing out on important documents, that you're not going to be able to do what you always did, that your work is going to suffer.
It is terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying. And I think the thing that for me is the most terrifying is because everything is now in the cloud, I actually have no way of looking to see that everything is actually there before I erased everything else.
I made the mistake a few weeks ago of talking to someone who's in IT. And at first I offended them because I had an issue with my phone and they said, I work in networks. I'm like, I don't know what that means. But somehow communities and networks and how they linked is different to like an issue with your phone. Regardless, I started picking his brain about, you know, we living in this 21st century world. What are some of the realities? And he says, you have no idea how much you are hacked on the daily. You have no idea.
No, but I don't want to know that
stuff. Exactly.
That's too, you know what? If you want to hack me, listen, there's an open invitation. I got nothing on my machines that you – go ahead.
Did you not get – so last year
– I got these emails from some Russians.
Exactly. Where you everybody back things got up, yeah. What people yeah. say.
The one that says, we know what's on your desktop and what you've been searching. And we're going to – you pay us and we're going to – I looked at this and I thought – y'all must think I'm living out some crazy, exciting life. Whatever it is that y'all found, please share it because I'd like to know.
I wonder how many people have paid them because of what happens
Be very happy if someone tried to extort money out of me, I'd be happy to let them try. Yeah, so what? I mean, what's the worst? They're going to look up your porn history?
But I'm trying to also find...
Go on. Knock yourselves out.
They actually gave me this website to also use.
Breaking. Inati says that what Pumi said means I'll disappoint you. That's
there
what
you
it
go.
Means.
Thank you.
Oh, swabisa.
Thank you. Yeah, klaswaba. Klaswaba.
I'll use that at least
back
three
to
more
you,
times.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm trying to find this website, but they actually gave me a link, and you type in your email address as well, and you can find out whether some people are trying to infiltrate your account.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Let's have that.
Oh, now it's going to annoy me, but I'll find it before the end of the show. And it was actually, it is anxiety-inducing, but rather you be empowered and you know about these things than to move around and not. Because another thing they also advised is don't use those password-keeping apps. So, something called like the Vault, where you go and you store all of your passwords for your different accounts or your...
But I use one of those, which is very highly rated. People, I actually was told about it in Silicon Valley 2 years ago, and it's served me very well. You have your master password.
Yes.
And then it unlocks all the others.
Oh, look at
you. Pumi says, bad idea.
Pumi's,
master password.
You don't like this, Pumi?
Shaking your head.
I'm just saying. My experience over the past 7 days has, if I were that person, I think it would have like brought me to my knees and humbled me in the most.
Okay, well maybe I must get off. Maybe I must just cancel that.
I do get it though to a certain extent. Once someone knows your master password, they know everything of yours. But what are the chances?
So, look, you know, Greg is the one that put the fear. The fear of it all.
Yeah, Greg is like our genius here. He's our live-in genius.
He was like, never have one password because I was that girl. I just had one password. I'm not going to like, right? I had one password and variations. So if they want a special character and a number, there's a special character and a number.
Right, you just introduce different. And then you spend like an hour every day trying to remember whether you needed the special character. Yeah. Oh,
and Greg said to me, don't do that. And I was like, Greg, he said, because if someone figures out that one, and also watching, because what do I love watching on TV? All these thrillers and all this, and like Sherlock, which is currently my most favorite one, the BBC Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. That Sherlock, he can just unlock everyone's password and like just by deduction.
Right.
And I'm just like, And then I'm always comforted by the fact that I don't think we have that kind of criminal here in South Africa.
No, it's much more rudimentary here.
But we aren't really talking about South Africa when we're talking about the internet.
I mean, we're talking
about global field.
Russia and America and India.
I'm not sure if like Russians are interested in me.
Well, I don't think we – you know what? I think you're a big target if you have tons of money or if you're a very public person or –
like if they were to
but don't rest on your laurels because we've all heard stories about ordinary people who've had their, you know, banking password hacked. And
look, if they were to hack my passwords, all of them across every single banking channel I have, and wiped out all the money sitting in there, including the overdrafts.
Mm-hmm. Right? And you'd probably and then, come out better.
And then, and then put it all together and then tried to translate it into whatever currency they live in. They would be bitterly disappointed.
Yeah, the input versus the output.
Yeah, exactly. They put in so much work for like a couple of hundred rand.
Their return on investment ratio
okay,
would
that's slightly comforting.
What is Greg saying the key is? Like you have to have a different password for everything?
Yeah.
Ah, please. Who's going to remember that?
How do you maintain that?
I must have 1,000 passwords if I think about it. You've got your social media logins, which are like 5 or 6 of them. Then you've got your banking logins. You've got your laptop. You've got your phone. You've got your pin codes, passcodes. You've got the ATM pin that you use. Uh-huh. Think about all these different ones you've got. It's crazy.
You might have
right?
like 2 or 3 bank cards.
Oh, every time I have to update my phone or I transfer information from one phone to the other, then each app needs you to re-enter the password. That's a nightmare.
That was me at 1 a.m.
trying to figure
it's a
out.
Nightmare.
That was me at 1 a.m. when I eventually got everything back from my old phone to the new phone.
Yeah.
And now it's all up and running and it's all there. All my pictures, all my apps, everything is there. And I thought, wow, this is wonderful. Let me tweet about this.
Try and go into Twitter.
So I went into Twitter and it asked for my password. And I thought, damn.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to think about this. I think I will just go to bed. I will tweet about it after the show.
I can't. I don't know. There's a hack that goes on. I can't use just like 40,000 different passwords, because how do you maintain and you remember that? And I know it seems kind of vain and morbid to bring up as well, but I was thinking about what happens when I die with all of my passwords and stuff. What if my family needs to access something? It really is absolutely superficial, but I would love my family to tweet and post and Instagram something when I'm dead, like a last post of my...
Am I the only one who thinks
about this? The actual last post, as in... That's the last post, right?
Like, have you told them this? Yeah. Have you told them this?
No, he's going
to
say
I'd like to...
It's in his will. Have you got a will?
I was actually considering that.
No, you got to put in your will. And what you do in your will is...
You put your password in
there? Yes. That's what you're meant to do.
You see, guys...
But then you lock it in a safe, and you only give them the combo for the safe, then they get the will, and they get everything after that.
No, I don't have
to. You give it to the bank.
That's even better, yeah.
They keep it at the bank. And then you hope that the person on the other side is not in a greasy.
Okay, I need to make right with my sisters. I need to be nice to them.
Yes, you do.
To keep all of this for a while.
So I need to ask you something. Yesterday was my nephew's 5th birthday.
Oh, happy.
Yeah, so...
Halala.
So apparently I didn't do what you meant to do. So I saw him yesterday afternoon, very briefly, because I popped in and I said happy birthday to him, made a big fuss of him, but I'm saving his present for his birthday party, which is on Saturday. Right?
Okay.
So I didn't make two. But apparently I was also meant to WhatsApp his mom so she could say, oh, your uncle just sent a happy birthday. But he's 5. I don't think he really cares what...
Who said you haven't done what you're supposed to?
My mother, his grandmother, said sketchy. I didn't do enough to make a fuss of his birthday. Now, do you think that's fair, or do you think that... Am I wrong? I'm happy to be wrong. Or is this an unimportant issue, which I frankly think it is? It's the kid's birthday. You see, that's the message that I was meant to send. It's the kid's birthday, and I love him to pieces. Of course I'm going to say happy birthday to him. I don't need to put it on some group or WhatsApp his mom first thing in the morning and say, please tell him I say happy birthday. Do I?
No. And where are these rules? I don't think so.
You're creating a whole other set of anxieties for me because I don't think I've ever done that.
Okay, good. So I don't have to feel bad. And you're a mom, so if you don't do it, then I don't have to do it. Okay, done. Leave it alone. We can move on.
No, it's also 5 years old. Like, all right. I don't believe
it. I'm very
in...
happy. Thank you. I'm very happy with that. Now, let's just leave it. Put my mind at ease.
Do you have to go to the birthday party as well?
Yes, of course. No. That I want to do. I mean, it's cute. Of course.
The uncle.
Yeah. And I'll be able to take him a present, which I've got, and a you know, I'll make a big fuss. And
uncles are your favorite person.
And when you're a kid, your birthday is way more important than it is when you're an adult. So you want to make a fuss.
But I'd say 7 to 11.
What about 7
that
to 11?
You really, really remember? 5, it's kind of still sketchy.
I think a 5-year-old is smart enough to know if you don't make a fuss at their birthdays. And they can hold a grudge for 200 years.
But there'll be, you know,
children.
You don't 35 be on people the at the party.
Have you ever spoken to psychologists about people who come to them in their 50s and they're like, my parents didn't make a big noise when I graduated from primary school?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my parents didn't give me a big kiss the day after I got my mark for Zulu in grade 3. Oh, no. People remember shit.
See, they need to re-examine their lives. I have a certain
tactic.
They
need to fill their lives.
There are lots of people who have big issues. I mean, whether they deserve to have those issues or not, that's none of my business. But they remember and they bring it up with the shrink years later.
Mm-mm.
People have issues.
I use a certain tactic when it comes to my nieces and my nephew, because I'm like, work smart instead of work hard. I just plant certain seeds and that's it. So I saw my nephew over the weekend and we were in the car and I thought, okay, like, you know, let's make it a moment. What will you remember out of this day? And I'm like, the cool uncle always lets you swear. And I know it's bad. It is horrible.
How do you introduce this to the kid? He's 7, 8 years old.
He's 8. He's turning 8 this year. And I asked him, I said, you know, how's school going? I start to introduce the topic in that way. And I go, are there any rules at school? And he starts, you know, naming everything. And then says, yes, we aren't allowed to say any bad words. And I thought, oh. Bad words?
He doesn't even say swear.
Yes, it's bad words.
Which one's the bad?
Bad words. What are you talking about? He says, oh, I can't even say them, but there's one with an F, but I'm only allowed to say it when I tackle someone in soccer. And then I was like, well, firstly, do you tackle someone in soccer? But I'm not the sports guy, so I'm not going to ask. You can't say it anywhere else. So I'm like, you know, you can say that with me, right? And he goes, no, but I was really told no. So I'm like, oh, we're in the car. No one knows. What's that F word? Oh, and he rattles it off. And you could tell there was just such glee in his face to say this word. And he goes, do you want to know another bad word? I'm like, oh, now I've created a monster.
You've opened the sluices.
You rattled like 3 other words. I'm like, okay, that's it. You see, I don't need to spend a whole Monday.
But he will remember that.
You see?
I think that's a great thing to do.
Not having to clean up dirt at a birthday party, because I'm not about that life.
No. Yeah. I'll be gone with it. No, after the party, the detritus is lying everywhere, and there's smashed things and paint and streamers and chocolate and cake. And you know,
glitter that never leaves anywhere.
Get out of there.
Memorable things I've ever heard a child say about birthday parties. Because, like, you know, children's birthday parties, they're messy affairs.
Mm-hmm.
But this kid was just like, a friend of mine's daughter was just like, you know how you know you've been to a good party? When you come home and you're in the car, mommy, and you've eaten so many sweets and you've drank so much cool drink, you feel a little bit sick and your head feels a little bit funny. And I thought, damn. Even as an adult, that's how you know you went to a good party.
Sure.
What's that movie? I want to be chocolate wasted. They feel chocolate wasted.
Sugar coma.
Oh, jeez.
All right, it is 6:30. Do you want to get into some news? You want to see what's going on in the world?
So much going on.
All right. So much. First thing, kind of boring, but 26 million voters are currently registered, according to the IEC, with the IEC hoping to add another million before the end of the month. The Independent Electoral Commission says it is ready for the final voter registration drive. That's this weekend. So if you haven't registered to vote and you want to register to vote, then this is your last opportunity. I think a lot of people are so disenchanted after this week's revelations about who's being paid. And you know, can you imagine how this feels if you are one of those people who's never had service delivery? You've gone every time there's an election, you've gone to the polls like a diligent, good citizen. You've voted, and then you see who's on the take, and you see how this money's laundered, and you hear how the economy is suffering because of what our parastatals look like. I mean, even if you don't necessarily understand all of this at a granular level, and I don't want to imagine that people don't understand, because that would be patronizing. But even if you just read the news and you're so disappointed in politicians, because I don't know anyone who's running around at the moment going, wow, I'm so impressed with politicians. Yeah. If you want to go and vote, then this is your last weekend. I'm not going to say whether that matters to me or not at this point. But the chairperson of the IEC, Glenn Mashinini, said, young people must take this opportunity to register to vote. To the young people, we say, come forward and register, because this is your opportunity. For what, I say, in contrast. Anyway, the CEO of the IEC, Sy Mamabolo, said preparations are well underway at the IEC's 22,925 voting stations across the country. If you're registered already, you don't have to go and register again, do you?
You do have to check.
Yeah.
Oh.
So there is a number.
Oh. There's a number. There's a website as well.
Okay.
Hashtag *120 whatever. There's a number like that that you can SMS your ID number.
Sure.
And it'll send you back if you are registered and where you are registered, because they, you know, they add voting stations and all of that kind of stuff. And what that does is you might find that where you voted last time
has
shifted to somewhere else. So you want to check. The good thing about this election, because it's a national election, you can vote anywhere in the province. You can vote anywhere in the province. It's unlike a municipal election where you have to vote in your municipality.
Okay.
In your
That's very interesting. So there's going to be, what are you going to vote for in this one? It's the national and the provincial election.
Two ballot papers. You get one for their country and you get a second one for their province.
Okay.
So, but you can vote anywhere.
All right. That's useful info. You see, Pums, you're actually more useful than the IEC in communicating this stuff. You've been paying attention.
Used to work on IEC campaigns.
There we go. See? It clearly rubbed off on you in a good way. But then I know that you're one of those good citizens.
Guys, because...
I know. You said it last week.
It's the problem with democracy.
You have to get involved.
It's the problem with democracy.
You're right.
If only 100 people voted...
So this is kind of a sad story. We've met him a few times, and I think he's been on a couple of TV shows that I was on, and I'm very sad to hear the death, obviously, of Oliver Mtukudzi, the late jazz musician who brought hits like Tordi and Neria, and he, of course, died in Harare on Wednesday at the age of 66. It's young.
It's very young, hey?
It's young. Legendary Zimbabwean musician. He is understood to have been battling an illness for the past month. The world-renowned jazz singer left 66 albums. That's got to be right up there in the record book. 66 albums, almost an album a year. In fact, it is.
For every year he's been alive.
It is, and it's an album every year. That's phenomenal.
It is, and so sad, so sad. I have a story to share.
Sure. Well, let's hear this. Tell me.
Mkomatuku, as they call him in Zimbabwe. Years ago in my other life, when I used to do music videos and stuff like that,
yes.
A friend of mine brought Oliver Mtukudzi to my mother's house.
Wow.
My mother has had the privilege of meeting almost every famous person I know. Right?
Well, you took me to meet your mother once, and I was treated like a celebrity.
But my mother is also that person that has no clue who anybody is. She has no clue who anybody is at any one time when they are at our house.
But she's tremendously hospitable.
Oh, no, she's just fabulous, wonderful. And for those of you who know what Oliver Mtukudzi looks like, he's a tall guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a skinny guy. Yeah. But he's also
pretty
got a
gaunt
very,
in the face.
Very, very distinct face.
Angular.
Very kind of angular. Yeah. And his nose is quite like shaped. It's not like flat button like mine, right? It's got one of those angular noses and his chin and very chiseled face.
And,
And after they left, so Marion and Oliver left afterwards, after lunch or whatever, and my mother says to me, wherever did you find that man? He looks like he's been carved.
Oh, wow. What a thing to say.
Mommy, what are you doing? He says he looks... like he's been carved out of a piece of wood. And only for then, for the first time, did I actually recognize what an angular and chiseled face he has. And the most fascinating thing about, for me, Oliver Mtukudzi's skin as well, is that it is I'm a very, very dark person, but his skin is almost shiny. He's such beautiful skin. He has such beautiful skin. He actually looks like he's been polished
wood. Been buffed.
Like polished wood.
Ebony.
And and I was saying to my mother, what do you mean, where did I find that man? Do you not know who that is?
She has no idea.
Clueless.
Oh, clueless.
And this is at the time when he had that huge hit, which actually I think kind of introduced him to a lot of South African popular music fundies, when he had that hit with Ringo Madlingos.
Which song was that? Angazi.
Awuyazi. Into Yako. You know that Ringo Madlingos Into Yako? He's got a remix got a Shona version.
Let me see if I can find that.
And the Shona version the Shona part of the song is sung by Oliver Mtukudzi.
All right, Oliver Mtukudzi, and let me see if I can find Ringo Madlingozi. Okay.
My mom has no clue who the guy is.
Into Yami,
yes, yeah. With Oliver Mtukudzi.
All right, let's try that. Let's just see. Memory Lane. Let's give this a go. See if we can remember this. Since it is a tribute to him that we're doing here, we may as well pay attention, right? Play a bit of a song. There's nothing wrong with that. If you've just joined us, we've got a Thursday lineup this morning with plenty of good stuff, including the Burning Platform, which is coming up in a short while. But here, just to remind yourself. This is familiar. How long ago is this, Pums? Do you remember?
I have no idea.
Beautiful. Yeah, well, God bless him. I mean, rest in peace, sir. Here he is, Oliver Mtukudzi, and died at the age of 66. I still can't believe 66 albums, exactly.
How odd is it that he passed away on the same day that our own beloved Brahu passed
away? Yeah, that's right. And is it the same day?
Absolute
same day. And they were friends as well. It's quite eerie.
It's incredible. Well, there it is. That's at least a little bit of the news. There's some more. Do you want to hear some more?
Sure.
Of course we want to hear more. How else are we going to be knowledgeable at the water cooler?
So close to 300,000 ID cards and books have not been collected from various Home Affairs offices throughout the country. Now, I wonder.
Okay.
You can't vote without that.
But if you have 300,000 ID books and cards that haven't been collected, is that 300,000 people who are just... they don't care, they don't bother to come and collect? Or is it you in the department not communicating that their IDs are ready for collection?
I don't know. All I know is that the last time I went to get... so when I went to get the little smart card, very pleasantly surprised.
Mm-hmm. I've got mine. It's a very useful
very long queue.
Sure.
After a very long queue, I literally got it in like 10 days.
That's very good.
Oh, wow. It was amazing. I went to Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm that person. I was like, who will show up at the Alex one? It's not like the Randburg one. The Randburg one, you know, has a lot of people that it services.
There's a queue everywhere.
Yeah, there was a queue.
Yeah.
Funniest thing about the queue is early, but I also got there early, you know, after I dropped off Kanekho at school. It's like 7:30. I was already there. Some lady comes out kind of like probably 7:45 to make a huge announcement. About the people abazoshada, the people that are here to get married. One side, please. One side.
Oh, wow. So they do the marriages there as well, right? You can get your... yeah, you can have your
how
marriage.
How convenient.
Yeah, sure.
Also, when I got Kanekho's passport, which was a bit of a ball ache, because I had to bring Neo. You both have to be there.
Right.
In
both
this country.
Parents.
In this country.
No, I mean, can you imagine
where
how
we have a show called Pay Your Papgeld?
Yeah.
You have to bring the father of the child to the Home Affairs with you.
Yes.
Ball ache of note.
40,000 of the IDs that have not been collected are in the Eastern Cape. About 13,000 are in Nelson Mandela Bay centers in Port Elizabeth, Uitenhage, Motherwell. 11,000 are in the OR Tambo regional centers in Umtata, Sikisiki, and Libode. and about 6,000 are in Buffalo City. So really, the Eastern Cape, you've got to pull your socks up. They've got your IDs. Go and collect them, please.
Should we say in a bit of a silver lining, at least these are ready, unlike the driver's license where there's a backlog.
Who knows how long they've been ready? They might already be expiring, knowing the Department of Home Affairs in the Eastern Cape in particular. So
people might be dead.
I think it's people who've waited for so long, they're now like, I'll just use my license or something else.
In less pleasant news, but something that probably would interest a lot of us, Edcon are said to be in talks for a 3 billion rand rescue funding. This is unbelievable. I mean, I know that Edcon, that's Edgar's, they own a bunch of other companies. We know that they've got debt, and they're struggling in an economy where they get undercut by huge international competition like Zara, and where they get online competition from all the portals that a lot of people prefer to buy from. And you know, they really didn't manage that business well in the last 10 to 20 years. Mm. So they're in talks for as much as 3 billion rand in funding to save South Africa's biggest non-food retailer. The Public Investment Corporation, which are going through their own shit at the moment, they're being investigated.
They're another ring to the ring circus that we're running.
Correct. They oversee state worker pensions and are Africa's largest fund manager, may provide 1.8 billion to assist the company. Landlords may contribute another 700 million through reduced rent charges, and banks will put in 500 million. The PIC has received a proposal on Edcon and will make a decision after subjecting it to investment processes. See, I don't know whether a business that's run as badly as they've been run deserves to carry on living. I'm not one of those too big to fail people. I say, if you run a business into the ground, it must probably die.
Their business model is what let them down. I mean, I think that they are a true example of what happens if you are not agile enough, if you don't see where the tide is going,
and
quickly move into that space or reimagine yourself in that space. It's fascinating to see where they currently are and what they're going to do. You know, Grant Patterson's their new CEO now, and he was the youngest ever.
When
CEO.
Did he come in?
I think he's been there for almost 18 months now, maybe 2 years.
So he saw this recent offloading of workers as well.
Yeah, but he also comes from Massmart. He comes from Massmart days. He built Massmart into what it was
and sold it off to Walmart.
And sold it off to Walmart.
Wow.
So
would you want his job?
No.
No. 89-year-old Edcon, they employ 21,000 employees. In a country where, of course, let's remind ourselves, 1 in 4 people don't have a job. With more than 1,100 stores across South Africa, it has struggled amid increasing in competition, weak consumer spending, and stagnant economic growth in the home market. It was taken over by banks and bondholders in 2016 to avoid failing. Net third-party debt climbed 67% at the end of June. Edcon says on its website that sales have declined 8.5% during that period too. So I don't know why it doesn't look like the forecast's very good. Why bail them out? You know?
That's a lot of money to
throwing
offer.
Good money after bad.
That's what I think. Yeah. I actually also think that is throwing good money after bad.
Sometimes.
Especially because, you see, the thing about Edcon or Edgar's, their business model was such that they worked off the higher purchase experience.
That's
but
right.
What they were selling is they were selling stuff that they can't repossess. So unlike a furniture store, a car or whatever, you know, once you've taken the clothes and you've got it on higher purchase, if you don't pay it back, they can't come and get the clothes and sell them again. Right? And that is one of the things that was the most, their biggest downfall.
Doesn't that tell you a lot about the South African consumer as well, that we will buy clothing on that we can't afford on HP, and that actually we're spending money we don't have? An institution like this takes that on and they fail.
And I think also one of their biggest, which was one of the things that when I was a student we loved a lot about Edgar's, was the red hanger sale, right?
Yeah, right.
Red hanger sale, y'all.
It
was
that.
A thing. But what the red hanger sale also did was it killed their other part of the business, because you don't have to go there and buy the stuff. You just wait for the red hanger sale when all their stuff is at 50% or 75% off. So all of that kind of stuff.
Just a really monstrous thing to manage. Just managed badly. That's all we can say. We know that there are huge retailers that have managed things very well and have done exceedingly well in terms of profits, even in a bad economy, even with competition, because they've been managed properly. Anyway, let's not pile on. They must be sitting in board meetings tearing their hair out anyway. Apparently, the Juma Majid Mosque in Mayfair in Johannesburg says it doesn't believe Tuesday night's deadly shooting was an attack on the place of worship, but was targeted at an individual. Apparently, Mohammed Amin was accosted by two men in the parking lot just after evening prayers and shot dead. Ooh. A bystander was wounded in the attack. Worshippers have continued to hold prayer services at the mosque on Wednesday afternoon and at the Amin family home. Now, this is one of the biggest mosques in Johannesburg.
Mm.
And Mayfair is, look, it's a tough community. I mean, there's a lot that's going on in Mayfair. But we're trying to figure out whether or not this was an attack on the mosque or whether it was an attack on this one man. Maybe it was even an assassination, for the want of a better word.
Ooh.
Or maybe it was an opportunistic crime.
It's Mayfair, not Bedford View.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
So it's probably just...
Mayfair's nice and chilled.
Well, the community are in shock, and it's understood that the father of seven had businesses in the Joburg CBD, and the motive for his murder is not yet known. Very mysterious. All right, well, that's all the news that we need to squeeze in for you this morning. Sia's got some inspiration for us in Said by Sia. You ready for some of that?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll take your calls. Remember, we've got our phones working, thank goodness, after all these weeks and all my promises, it all finally comes together and works. So you can call us on 0861-555-189 if you want to get hold of us this morning. Sia, what do you got?
I really do like that this is a community and something inspiring coming out of such a dark time. Remember the Betty's Bay fire and how that took place a few weeks ago?
Yeah, well, they said that it was lit by someone who was shooting fireworks off around New Year.
Exactly. And we now know that information from a witness by the name of Heinrich Adonis. And he was actually walking down the road, and he was the one who spotted the person who was just using fireworks from their property and was able to... Of course, at that point, you just see the fireworks. You don't really know how much will happen afterwards. And the fire was absolutely massive. And with something like that, he took the information to the police. Now, this is when we were mentioning Bedford View.
Good citizen, yeah?
We mentioned Bedford View tactics and antics a little while ago. Well, this person who started the fire was actually now starting to threaten Heinrich and his family, saying, you have no idea what you're doing. Well, you're just a horrible person, and you're going to pay for this because you took me to the cops. And shout out now to the community of Betty's Bay, because they're like, look, dude, actually, you are horrible. You are not going to now start threatening. And the entire community is standing up for Heinrich and his family, saying, we are not going to stand for threats at all.
Very nice.
Absolutely love the fact that this community is doing this. You know, Heinrich decided to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the police. He gave them the statement. He was the one who pointed out the house where the flare came from. And this is how the police were eventually able to make the arrest. But, you know, this culprit is quite not okay in the head, going out to publicly say things like he will kill the person who turned him in.
No, yeah. Well, he should be locked up just for the suspicion. I mean, the court interdicts you could take out against people who threaten violence against you. Never forget this. If someone threatens you on social media, you can take them, you can go to court and you can obtain an interdict against them.
And it lasts for 5 years.
And more.
So you actually have a warrant of arrest against that person which lasts for 5 years. So if
kudos.
They do anything and they know this,
they can go to jail. No.
Heinrich Onder says, what is wrong is wrong and what is right is right. If he wants to threaten me, I'm not scared of him or anyone else in his family. That's the way I was raised. I don't see how a wrong can be right, and this is why this country is in such a mess with all this corruption. People don't want to stand up and do the right thing. But Betty's Bay, you are standing up and standing up for Heinrich, so I think that is incredible. Something awesome coming out of this dark time. That's just it by Sia for this morning.
Nice. We love Betty's Bay residents. See y'all, I told you. Take control.
For standing up for this guy who stood up for them. It's an amazing story that I want to tell you about. I'm blown away by things like this, but maybe it's just me. You can tell me in a second. I do have a couple of messages I want to get to before we get to that story. Jay says, if you want to check whether or not you're registered, you can send your ID number to 32810. on SMS 32810, and then they will tell you if you are registered or not.
Thanks, Jay.
There we go. It's helpful. And Mr. Schmangel saying, I want to vote in the elections, but who is the registered party taking part in the – who are the registered parties taking part in the elections? After all, there are so many new parties with terrible names. I don't care if they mess up the country as long as I can light up a blunt whenever I'm in South Africa and wherever I am in South Africa. So that's all that Mr. Schmangels is interested in this morning. So this is a great story, Pums. I have had dreams about things like this happening to me.
Wow.
Oscar De La Renta opened a boutique in Paris. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I had the exact same experience. I was like, what?
So they were busy refurbishing this beautiful old boutique, and it's in an old building, and you know, it's kind of high price real estate. So it's not cheap to do this, and they're putting in marble, and they're fixing and renovating the floors. And
Oscar De La Renta.
They're taking out asbestos, because that's of course very dangerous to have in buildings, and they used to use it widely, and now we've realized it's very poisonous and dangerous. So we take it out of buildings when we find it. And they found this wall, and they started chipping it away, and they saw some color come out from behind the plaster. And so they called up some experts and had them check it out. And then they sent a message to the owners of the company to say, look, you better get on a plane, and you better come and see. And the guy was like, oh, God, no, there's some structural problem.
What an incredible builder, collapse. Though. What an incredible builder.
Because a lot of builders would just take a
wrecking
ball. Keep
slammering.
Anyway, the owners got on a plane in New York, and they flew over, and they had no idea what to expect. They thought it was going to be some bad news about a pipe that had burst or structural problems, and they'd have to change the whole plan for the building. They get there, and there's a 17th century painting, a beautiful wall mural in exquisite color with a religious scene. And
of a marquise.
It's just the most beautiful painting on this wall. Now, I can imagine no greater reward in the world than discovering this treasure behind your wall. So apparently, the boutique are now going to incorporate this into what they were going to do, but it's just the most magnificent painting if you've seen it. And he was blown away, the owner. The guy's name is...
So he's the COO.
That's correct. Alex Bolin. He's the CEO of Oscar De La Renta. And he was very worried, but this is a 10 by 20 foot oil painting of an elaborately coiffed and dressed 17th century marquis and assorted courtiers who are entering the city of Jerusalem. We're not sure who it is by. We don't know who did the original painting. But can you imagine the joy of discovering a painting like this, probably worth, I don't know, millions of pounds, millions of euros?
When I read that story, so the first thing I thought of was, I thought, how these guys kept this to themselves for 18 months. Because they've now completely uncovered the thing. They've restored parts of it that were slightly... I'm like, 18 months, they keep this to themselves. So I think we can probably guess that it's not one of the famous guys that painted it. Because they would have by now.
Oh, they would have revealed that someone would have spoken now, about it. But,
yeah.
But, you know, it's more the style of this thing that's so impressive. So
gorgeous,
They were talking about the building itself and the owner said it was pretty charmless. A former insurance brokerage, it had a dropped ceiling with fluorescent lighting, particle board walls, and industrial carpeting. I mean, it sounds horrible. We knew we'd have to take everything out. The idea was to link the two floors with a grand staircase, the ground floor, and part of the second would serve as the boutique, and then a room at the end would be used as a showroom and event space, with other spaces for offices and storage. And then they discovered this amazing painting, which is now going to be the focal point of this incredible place. And they did. They had artists come in and restore it, and they made sure they cleaned it up beautifully. And it's just absolutely incredible. They've got the paneled ceiling now as well, which they discovered.
So now even if you can't afford Oscar De La Renta, you can just go to that Paris boutique just to check out the painting.
Jeez, can you imagine? So there we are. There's something fun. You never know. And just because South Africa, in terms of our buildings that you'll find in most of our cities, is probably what, maybe in Joburg 100 years, in Cape Town maybe 2 or 3, you never know. There could be treasures.
Although, because you said you've dreamt about something like this happening
so many
to you,
times.
Right? Is sometimes when you go walking in outside of Joburg, in the caves, in the Drakensberg and all of that kind of stuff, sometimes I think, wouldn't it be amazing to discover cave drawings?
Well, there are people who have.
I know.
People who've gone hiking in like the Cedarberg and they've discovered these paintings that the sand must have done, I don't know, up to 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago.
I stayed on a farm in Clarence in my birthday weekend last year, and the guy that owns the farm, there are actual cave drawings on a part of his farm that the University of the Free State have reserved, and they came through, they checked them out, they took pictures of it. But he doesn't. So depending on what time of year you go there, you can hike down to see those wall paintings.
Yeah.
But most of the time you can't. They're inaccessible because of where they are. They're kind of in a ravine near a river.
Well, thank God, because then people won't go and ruin them.
And that's what he said, that one of the biggest problems, and because of where they are, the university then couldn't make it a heritage site. So he owns those. They have taken them. They've taken pictures of them. They've marked them.
Yeah.
And they've kept samples of all of the carbon dating and all of that stuff. But because of where they are, they can't be a heritage site. So unless you're going to stay, and he's on Airbnb, but he doesn't have it on his Airbnb. He doesn't have it.
That is the main selling point.
Right.
Yeah.
We just happened to be like walking around. You can go there.
You'll have people from all over the world coming to see that.
Yeah, that guy. And what a farm. What a farm. And he's an ex-like mining Anglo-American executive. And that's how he
You know, that would make me happier than to discover gold on
right?
my farm. Because gold is, it's a mineral. If I discovered I had paintings from 1,000 years ago, and I'd be excited.
So yeah, so that cave, that they actually then surmised that it was probably a dwelling of some sort, mm-hmm. with people that used to live there all those many years ago. I thought that was, what? Imagine that.
Well, here's something exciting. What happens when we send two entrepreneurs around South Africa to find businesses that are not only successful but also exist for a purpose? Companies that are doing good for consumers, for people, for you and me. We're launching today our new series, The Naked Economy. You can hear episode 1 live at 10 a.m. And that episode, plus the next one, episode 2, will be available to download later this morning for your binging pleasure. You know, we get that you want to go for it and listen to 2 or 3 episodes at a time. So today, The Naked Economy tells the stories of individuals, from the visionary entrepreneur to the kitchen staff to the engineer who knows the deepest secrets. People who work in companies that are designed in a new way. People who are proud of how things are done behind the scenes. The Naked Economy is not about being inefficient or singing kumbaya. In fact, part of the criteria for companies featured in this series is not just the big picture thinking or their role in society, but whether they use technology and other ways of improving processes so everybody can win. Doesn't that sound good?
Nice.
The Naked Economy is about people who will inspire you to think differently about how you work and how you buy. It's hosted by successful tech entrepreneur Ernest North, together with rocker and all-round wacky creative Shane Durant, who's the lead singer of the band Desmond and the Tutus. Every episode of The Naked Economy involves the raw, behind-the-scenes story of a business that thinks outside the box and the people that make it work. This is very exciting.
Are they going to be naked?
They won't be naked, Pumi. You had to go there, didn't you? But this is very exciting.
Couldn't help myself.
Let me play you, just to get you warmed up, because this will be available later on this morning. You need to download and listen to The Naked Economy. Listen to this, just to give you an idea.
Think for a moment about the one question you hate being asked. Not because of the question, but more because of the answer. Particularly your unique answer. For me, this question was posed to me at a braai a couple of years ago.
So what do you do for a living?
A seemingly innocent question, but one in which I immediately held back the full truth, because I was ashamed to say what I do. So I answered that I was a mathematician, knowing that the person would not delve further into this boring career. But ultimately, this had an effect on me. Why can't I be proud of what I do? After pondering this question for some time, I came to the realization that it's because I help companies make massive profit, but at the expense of real people. Companies exploiting customers in ways that are legal, but not in their best interest. This got me thinking. There have to be companies out there in South Africa that don't take this approach, that exist not just to make money, but to serve a bigger purpose. Businesses that have found a better way of doing things. So I coined the term the naked economy. And in this podcast, I explore companies in South Africa that I believe deserve to be highlighted as doing good. Let's not settle for inferior products. Let's support companies that do the right thing. To join me on this journey, I've asked for the help of my good friend Shane. This guy is the lead singer of a band called Desmond and the Tutus. You may know him from this. And even this. But just as importantly, he himself has owned businesses and shares this interest with me of exploring a better way of doing things. I'm Ernie.
And I'm Shane.
And this is The Naked Economy.
Yeah. How's that, huh? Did you like the sound of that? If you're interested in business...
Naked Economy, coming soon on cliffcentral.com.
That's right, it's today, actually. So you can take a listen to our brand new series. And remember, we're always busy working on new stuff to get you excited. We know that for a lot of people, you don't have time to listen to everything. Maybe you don't even get a chance to listen live. So we make it available to you at your convenience. Coming up, the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. This is our chance to connect every week on the important stories in the news. And this morning is no different. We've got loads of things on the menu. Stick around for the Burning Platform.
This is CliffCentral.com.